Hello, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Top Dens with Twins. This is Luke here, and we are excited to be bringing another FPL podcast to you guys. So, I'll hand it over to my co-host Paul to say hi to everybody.
Everybody, hope you all are doing well. Like Luke said, both really excited to be here for another podcast, kind of just diving in some FPL topics. I think we're going to be talking kind of about some F the FA Cup fallout from who advanced, who got knocked out, some highlights, kind of just like players that performed well, and then also just kind of look at some of the fixtures going forward, where some of the doubles are going to be blanks, some of that's not really set in stone yet, but just some potential there, and then the elephant in the room, the big Norwegian. I think we'll kind of discuss Erling Haaland a little bit. So.
Mr. Erling Haaland, the one that's on all of our minds right now. There's some interesting stats that we'll talk about in a month, but don't want to jump the gun too much there. So, well, Paul just very
On the socials.
it's
Hey, Luke, they're not gonna
okay. Thanks, Paul.
know.
So, like and subscribe.
Leave a comment too.
We love putting out this content for you guys. We have a lot of fun doing that, as well as But we, so as of now, we're at the point where, for a time stamp for you all to know, kind of as of the moment we're recording this,
Apologies.
it's Tuesday afternoon. And Newcastle just drew with Barca 1-1 in Champions League. We all just converted the 97th minute pen to draw with them 1-1 as they go back to Spain here in the next second, like come the next week. But we also have some pretty big implications for double game weeks that we need to talk about. We'll get into that later on, but Liverpool did lose today 1-0 to Galatasaray. So that could have some pretty big implications in the long run for FPL, right? Because the way that they allot blanks and doubles really depends on if they have a free midweek fixture. And if we see Liverpool go out of Champions League, that's going to create a lot of space where they could put in a fixture and potentially not rearrange them to a different game week. So, but we'll get more into that later on. What I wanted to do here, Paul, is have us talk about our previous weeks.
Let's do it.
So if you want, I can start out. I ended up on 47 points for game week 29. Not my best week. It's one of those where I gave the captaincy to Hugo Ekitike and it just did not pan out. Excellent result there for Wolves. They have been looking a lot better. And one of the things that I think we should probably address too is Wolves may not be a team to target at this point
I don't think
with
so.
how they're playing. So that really kind of changes how we set ourselves up going forward. So as far as my team goes, the majority of my points came from my back line. I had Tarkowski's 15 pointer, which thank you, Tarkowski. It's about time. I've been waiting on this one for quite some time now at
He's
this point.
held him through the ups and downs.
And then I had Jimenez with an 8 pointer. He had really good chances to score a goal, but ends up securing 2 bonus points there. So that's a good return from him, being that he is currently owned by 0.3% of the game. So I will take that. And then my only other return was Bruno Fernandes with his assist. So,
Tough man.
oh, wait, no, I think that was that a goal?
No,
No,
this is an
it was an
assist.
assist. I think they got bonus points. So,
Nate.
I was very nervous going into those Sunday fixtures because I had Ekitike blank, who was my captain, and then really concerned about what Haaland was going to do with Forrest at home. And he ends up blanking. So it kind of washed out at the end, and Tarkowski really was the one bright spot this week. So I also had Anderson, who I transferred in that didn't play. Wilson didn't
The
play.
wrong Anderson.
And yeah, Joachim Anderson for full. And then I also had Wirtz. Who blank? So I played with 10 players in game week 29.
This back-to-back week, so it's tough.
It's okay. It's fine. We manage. I'm happy to have Wilson. I think he'll be ready to start going into this weekend for game week 30. So having him will be a bright spot. They have Forrest next and then Burnley after that. So I need Anderson and Wilson to play in both of those. But as long as that happens, I'll be happy and will be okay with, you know, missing out on a week. So over to you though. How's David Twyla?
It was good for me. I ended up on 64 points, 10 points above the average. Current rank is now around 38K. So sitting in a good spot. Hopefully over the next, what, we have nine game weeks left?
Yeah.
I think it's 9 game weeks left. Hoping I can push maybe for top 20, top 10K, something like that. A lot of things are going to have to break the right way. I can easily finish the season out of the top 100K. And just have to keep the positive going. But I had another week where I had two players sub on that really gave me a good boost. I had Anderson, who was on my bench, who subbed in with the goal. And I think Anderson had Def on too, didn't he? Let me see. Yeah, it was a goal, DEFCON, and 3 bonus. So,
and what a beautiful goal that was.
Great goal. That was, yeah. Honestly, couldn't be better to me at FPL and then also Premier League-wise. Like,
I said the same to you. Like, where I saw that goal and I was like, I didn't realize you had Anderson. Then after the match was over, I looked at your team. I was like, wait.
Yeah.
I don't think that goal gets any better, right?
Yeah.
As an Arsenal fan, as an FPL manager.
Yeah, it was awesome. It was a great fit. And then Captain Bruno had Gabriel on 11, Hill on 8, Kelleher on 6, also up a lot too. So another pretty good week for me. We'll see going forward though. I mean, this is really, you know, the next 9 game weeks is where we really solidify either all the good work we've done through the season, or we kind of just let it slip away, or you gain a lot of ground, whatever the situation is. Mm-hmm. But this is where the rubber meets the road, you know?
It is. It really is. I think, you know, this is the time when people's heads can start to go, because you're either trying to solidify a spot that you have where you're either like your mini league positioning, or you really like where you're at overall rank. And sometimes you can get a little complacent. Not you, but just generally people can.
Don't just talk on to me.
That's what
Luke wants.
I don't think it's you being complacent. Where you get in trouble is whenever you really get hyper aggressive. That's usually when you get trouble, when you're taking a shout on, you know, we'll bring him up already, Calafiori. He hasn't played in however long and then plays in the FA Cup. So it's one of those where I think as long as you keep your wits about you and you don't do anything too crazy, I think you'll be perfectly fine. Should easily
not get him promise anything. So
we'll see. Not that I would expect you to. So you definitely play your own game, and I respect that and feel like that. So as of now, though, you are currently beating me by 106 points. So I've got some work to do.
But Luke also has a captain, and I don't.
But I've also played my free hit. You have
There's balance to that. But I'm also telling myself that constantly because I don't want to open up the door.
You just gotta be careful.
Yeah,
be careful. So yeah, I think we're both pretty happy where our teams are at. Mine, like I was saying, could have been better, but you know, only thing we can do is look forward and try to make better decisions as we continue going to the FPL season. We're getting to the point though where we're reaching the final run here, and it's like, if you're going to make a push, now's the time to do it, because you don't want to be near the very end, game week 36 to 37. You don't have enough time to really change things at that point.
Oh, yeah.
So,
yeah, don't hang on to those chips till the very end. I mean, obviously, I mean, if you think it works out best with your strategy, but if you're maximizing, you probably want to be using them in like a double game week, a blank game week, whatever the situation is there.
You all know how we like to approach any doubles or blank game weeks. I am almost always of the belief that a chip being played in a blank is kind of a wasted chip in my mind.
Yeah.
Everything can be team dependent, but the upside in a blank is far less than the upside in a double game week, right?
Yeah.
If you can throw in another 90 minutes and, you know, across your team, right? Let's say you can throw in another 990 minutes. That's so much more time on the pitch that you can get more returns out of your players. And even just minutes wise, you're getting more points out of them. So, you know, we've got to be very careful about how we manage our teams as we're going into this chip season, but really do think it's important for us to be very strategic about how we're going to do that. So I think that's a good segue, Paul. Anything else you wanted to wrap on your team before we go to the next part of this pod?
Nothing to add.
Okay. All right. So we're going to go into chip usage. But before we do that, I kind of want to talk about the FA Cup results, because the FA Cup results are the most important thing for us at this point in time. So for looking at this, the teams that advanced through the fifth round of the FA Cup, that's right.
You mean just tell you verbatim?
Yeah, I got it right. So round five of the FA Cup, the winners were Liverpool, Arsenal, Chelsea and Wrexham. Was crazy. That was quite the insane result, where it was 2-1, Chelsea equalized late on, and then they end up getting two, and there's a red card for Wrexham. That was quite the crazy match to watch. João Pedro, of course, can't stop scoring. Managed to score, so
just cracked out right now, man.
Yeah, he's on a heater right now. Then we had Man City advancing as well. They beat Newcastle 3-1. Southampton beat Fulham, which we really don't like to see. It feels like without Harry Wilson, Fulham are rudderless. All right, like he's their North Star.
Or compared him crazily to Messi last time. I think we're on the pod. And, like, just you see, though, that, I mean, like, without him, they don't have that creative edge.
He's a messianic figure.
That's crazy. That's crazy behavior. But
flip that one, Fulham fans.
But you just see how vital he is. And that's kind of like, you know, whenever, let's use a good example.
What are you trying to think of an example?
Just another, like, focal point in another Premier League team's attack. Like, say, let's say you remove
Brentford without Thiago.
Yeah.
Burnley, I would say, but I can't pick one.
I would say also, too, for
Liverpool without Akitike.
Yeah, I was going to say Akitike. Yeah,
that's a good one. Yeah.
Well, I won't keep going on. But
yeah. To wrap out those FA Cup results, so we, like I said, we had Southampton beating Fulham. So Fulham are now out of the FA Cup. We had Port Vale beating Sunderland, which was a really big surprise. That was the biggest surprise of the entire fifth round.
You know, Arsenal almost lost to Mansfield.
Yeah.
Like, they didn't almost lose, but, like, also...
There were points in time in the match.
Yeah. Speaking of Messi.
Oh, gosh. Max Downman,
Did we watch the Max Downman highlights out there, everybody? Because...
I did not.
You need to watch them. I'm not even kidding you. Like, he looks like the best player in the field.
Okay, I believe you.
It's insane. I'm not saying anything. We mentioned Messi, and he just happened to come up afterwards. But like, he's not. But
what is he?
it's insane. It's just insane.
Okay. To close out after Paul just ISO'd for a second there.
sorry.
We have Leeds beating Norwich 3-0, and then West Ham beat Brentford 2-2 on penalties. So. What all of this means, so let's tie it all together. So going into the quarterfinals, now we have six Premier League teams that could potentially be moving on to the semifinals of the FA Cup. Why that matters is because the semifinals of the FA Cup are being played, and that will cause them to then make a blank game week, right? Because it's going to be on a weekend where Premier League games are supposed to be. So those teams will have to have their fixtures rearranged. And as I was saying earlier, the determining factor for where that blank fixture will go is whether or not the team who's in the semifinal or the team they're playing for that blank game week is playing in European competitions. If they're playing in Europe, that makes things exponentially more difficult to slot that fixture in.
Yeah.
So, therefore, increasing the likelihood that they're then playing on a different altogether, right? It's not just sliding forward to the midweek, which would keep it in the same game week. right? So that's the reason why we care so much about the FA Cup. Because if we see, you know, for example, we see Chelsea, Man City, Arsenal, and then Leeds all in the semifinals, all of those teams are probably going to blank because Chelsea will probably still be alive in Europe. The PSG, so that'll be tricky. But I would expect Man City to beat Real, even though that'll be a very cagey affair.
Yeah, it always is.
And then Arsenal, we would expect they will still be in Europe, no doubt about that in my mind. And then potentially West Ham or Leeds are going to be the one fixture where they could potentially just rearrange the fixture for them. So for that Premier League fixture, right? That could be pushed forward to the because neither team's in Europe. So we just need to keep a very close eye on that. So we want to make sure we know exactly what happens in these quarterfinals. They're played on the 4th of April. As of now, that's when they're slotted in to play. So once those quarterfinals are complete, we'll know exactly who's going to be playing in the semifinals and then have a better idea exactly where those fixtures are going to fall. So we can start planning, though, right? And it really, to me, it seems like most likely scenario, we probably have three teams. So three teams times two because they have corresponding teams they're playing. So six teams, three games that will be rearranged because of the FA Cup. That's what my gut's telling me and how I don't see Port Vale beating Chelsea, frankly.
I sure hope so.
It's at Stamford Bridge, so that makes a huge difference. It really does.
No, yeah, getting that fixture at home is a huge boost to Chelsea.
But I also don't see Southampton beating Arsenal. So with that in mind, how do you think is the best way for us to kind of prepare for this, Paul? Where does your mind go after that? Me going on that little rant there?
I mean, it's tough because, I mean, if we look at, let's see, whenever these fixtures occur on April 4th, right?
Yes.
Let's see, where would we be? One second, everybody. So that is going to be the week before game week 32.
Yeah.
It will probably fall in a good spot where if you're playing a wild card going into game week 32, it'll work out well for you. It honestly, though, makes me think just on spot that, like, if you're playing, I know some people have been counterculture and they want to play 33 instead of 32. Maybe it's better to wait to 33 because if, let's say there's FA Cup fixtures, right, on, and then they're going to have their pressers before game week 32. We know managers are going to lie. What if somebody's injured? What if all these things? Like, I feel like you just have more information going in 33, which I realize that messes up some things with if maybe if you want to play a certain chip usage back to back and everything like that. But more information, I think, is always a good thing as an FBI manager.
The tough thing with that, though, right, if you're waiting until 33 to wildcard, what that does is then you can't bench boost in 33.
Yeah, I know. That's
As we know, I am of that, you know, very, I'm a huge fan of the idea of bench boosting in a double game week.
Yeah.
Because of the extra minutes you get.
Purely. I mean, if you have 22 players compared to 11, like that's.
Yeah. But I mean, historically, we do see, though, that whenever you have big blank game weeks and then doubles, within that, sometimes the single game week players, almost always, they outscore the double game week players. So the good thing about the wild carding in 32 is you can also pick maybe one or two players that are have a really good, you know, single game week for that double game week. Like hypothetically, if we look at game week 33 as where everything's going to be slotted in, I mean, I wouldn't mind having Sar because Crystal Palace have West Ham home. Yeah, fixture in 33. And we also know that Crystal Palace are going to have to double at some point. Mm-hmm. I don't know if they're going to double before game week 33, though. So that fixture against City could be rearranged to 36 or 37 potentially. You know, there are other windows where they might have a slot in it. Because Man City have an absolute brutal run.
Oh, that's crazy.
You know, where they have Real Madrid, Liverpool, Arsenal, Madrid again. Not in that specific order, but they have a very difficult run of fixtures. So Crystal Palace against Man City is maybe not a horrible fixture for them, right, attacking-wise. I wouldn't expect them to keep the cheat, but maybe we do want a piece of Crystal Palace going into this stretch.
Yeah, it's difficult with Palace. I mean, I had Strand Larson, and I caught that two-goal haul that he had whenever his first game at Sellers Park. That worked out well. I would say if you're going to go the Crystal Palace route, it's probably Munoz, and you're just hoping for attack and you turn into Raymond playing cheat. Mm-hmm. Or you go with Sar. I think one of those two.
Yeah.
That's probably the truth. Because I think Sar is still on him, to be my guess. But I don't think we've seen that in action.
Sar took a penalty this past weekend?
He did.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So Sar is on penalties.
Yeah, because he's in the Morgan team. But I think Sar probably is the premier option go for, because I just don't think Palace aren't the same kind of team last year where you could have anyone else on your team and you'd get a handful of clean sheets. Like, it feels a lot more sporadic this year for them.
I agree with that. I also think that, you know, as we're looking at the run, right, I think Arsenal's kind of gone out of popularity a little bit in FPL. Their picks aren't as popular, but anyone who had Timber and Gabriel last week, they really did well, which I hate to see because I got rid of Gabriel and João Pedro 2 weeks ago. And that, you know, that's a, 30 more points I could have had on my team last week. So yes. Don't want to go too crazy thinking about that. But the point I'm trying to make here is I think after game week 31, we will see managers flooding back into Arsenal's assets. I know that they're going to be in Champions League. They'll have the FA Cup. There's a lot of fixtures coming at them right now. But the fixtures, especially for the last four game weeks, are so good. Arsenal have Fulham at home in 35, West Ham away in 36, Burnley at home in 37, and Crystal Palace in 38 to close out the season. That fixture against Crystal Palace is at Selhurst Park, so it's away from the Emirates. Could make it a little tricky. We would probably assume that at that point, Crystal Palace probably don't have anything to play for. And I would also assume
be gone.
Maybe. I'm shocked he's still there.
Who knows?
After saying he's not going to be the manager next season. You don't hear that every day. But I would expect, so Arsenal play Burnley in game 37. I would expect Burnley probably don't have anything to play for at that point. I think their relegation will be all but confirmed, probably.
Yeah, they're going to lock up that second seed, you know?
Yeah. So, you know, I'm just saying here, I think we see Arsenal become very popular in the near horizon, where people are going to be flooding back in there. And I think the wild card will become very popular to load up on Arsenal assets, probably including Saka, because he's been playing better lately.
Yeah. I mean, he's looked like... maybe he'll be finding form. Another Arsenal asset, just a shout out, his record from...
I thought you were going to say Dallin.
Just the cold stone face. Yeah, no, Dallin. No, but Eze's record in March and then for the preceding months afterwards is extremely good. This usually is the point of the season.
Do you think he's going to play, though? Is he going to consistently start where we could transfer him to more teams and feel confident he's going to get at least 70 minutes every week?
So I think you kind of have to keep an eye on the Leverkusen match this midweek, but Odegaard did not travel.
Arteta did say that he will not be playing.
Odegaard did not travel. I mean, Havertz seems like, there are a couple quotes where it seems like he's getting back to like full levels of fitness. But I mean, that can change match to match, sadly. I mean, I'm a huge Kai Havertz fan, but like, who knows with his, what he can offer, all that stuff. So I would say Eze may start starting on the left if Havertz is back and they're going to play Jokeros and Havertz together, because Martinelli is something at the moment, unless it's Champions League. But I don't know. Just keep an eye on Eze. That's all I'm saying.
Okay. Yep. That will be occurring tomorrow Arsenal have Leverkusen at the Emirates.
Thursday.
Yeah. So keep an eye on that.
No, it's away.
Oh, it's away. So it's at Leverkusen?
Okay. Yeah. So all of Arsenal's fixtures in the Champions League will be first game away, second game at home, all the way up to the final.
You know what I miss? I miss away goals in the Champions League.
It's fun.
There was such a distinct feel. I get why they got rid of it, because you don't want people scribbling on a napkin to see if they're whether they're up or maybe or not in the 92nd minute. And then, you know, maybe they do the math wrong and they don't push for the goal. So it's one of those things where maybe it was a little really complicated, but the joy,
the spirit of it.
It really kind of brought a unique atmosphere to it. That I think I kind of miss a little bit. So it is dead and gone now, unfortunately.
I mean, think about this. So basically, before we recorded, we were watching the second half of Newcastle and Barcelona. Newcastle scored to make it 1-0 at the Harvey Barnes goal. And then I haven't seen who scored, but Barcelona scored apparently at the death to make it 1-1.
You molded.
Yes. That goal would mean so much more, which, I mean, it still means a lot considering they're taking it. It's level heading back to the Camp Nou, but like, think about it. If Barcelona had that one goal advantage technically with the away goals, that next leg is going to be played entirely different, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, not that Hansi Flick will ever change his high line and everything, but like, I don't know, man. It's just interesting, and that was a really fun component of Champions League that I agree with you, though, if they brought it back, but what can we do?
Yeah, it's okay. It is what it is. I think we're also primed for a very big fixture tomorrow with Man City playing Real Madrid. I think that one starts out in Madrid as well, if I'm not wrong.
So you're the higher seed.
That's going to be a really interesting fixture. We know that Madrid are pretty decimated at this point in time. So why that matters for FPL, though, is if we see Man City go out of the Champions League at this point, the round of 16, that's going to have huge implications for FPL, like we've been talking about. If they end up losing, then the blank that they have, potentially due to the FA Cup, that could just be a right push forward to that midweek there. Keep a very keen eye on how these European results play out. Liverpool's one of those teams as well that, you know, they're down 1-0 on aggregate, and if they don't come back and win, then that could potentially mean that they don't double if they do manage to beat City in that pickup. So just keep an eye on that. It's all very fluid at this point.
Yeah.
But we want to be ready for every scenario we can be, right?
Yeah.
So as we're making transfers, we want to be mindful about that. Now, on to the next segment that might be a little controversial. I think it's time to get rid of Haaland.
I agree.
Are you going to do it?
I don't know. It makes me so uncomfortable to think about signing Haaland because, like, I mean, let's just play the hypothetical game. And I feel like we've been playing the hypothetical game for the past 5 game weeks, you know, when we first talked about Haaland being in a rough patch. But let's say that Man City go away to Real Madrid tomorrow and Haaland starts and he scores 2.
Which is very likely.
Because this man hates Real. Like, he does. He's one of us. But it's always going to be that situation with Haaland where, I mean, if you transferred him out 6 weeks ago, congratulations, you made a great transfer and your rank probably is representing that. But like, it also depends on how you invested those funds, where that money went, who you brought in.
If you went to João Pedro,
yes,
6 weeks ago, you are absolutely sorry. Right? The plus minus there.
Even if you took that.
So good.
You took that, you brought in João Pedro, Cole Palmer, like some of the combinations they've had, like you're probably in a really good spot. But there's always going to be the apprehension to take him out. But I think this is a very real conversation that I will heavily consider taking him out of my team this week.
And do you have a caveat with my statement? I think Haaland needs to go. I think if you're getting rid of Haaland, you still have to have a piece of Man City. Even though they're going to blink in 31, I still think if you don't have Haaland, you have to have someone new.
I agree. And I'm not going to disagree with you just for, like, you know, a first
podcast,
a first take segment where I'm like,
you know what, Stephen A?
I was going to go with Iguodala a bit, but then I was like, I can't.
Death ray pointed at the earth.
I forgot the verbiage. I can't even lie to my brain.
I want Iguodala.
Iconic. But no,
for those of you who are pure football fans and you haven't seen the clip, look up Max Kellerman, Andre Iguodala quote, and that'll get you right where you need to be. Basically, he chose Andre Iguodala to take a more difficult shot than Steph Curry, who's the best shooter on this planet.
That's
so
crazy.
He just went very viral for that. So that's the context there.
It was
back over people.
I agree with the Semenyo take, though. I mean, he's the top scoring midfielder in FPL.
Yeah,
he has just, like, shockingly, and not even because of a Semenyo, him as a player, person, any of that stuff. It's just usually City players that come in, take a longer time period to adjust, which is kind of amazing that Gehi and then also Semenyo have done so well right away.
Yeah.
It's kind of the same with Cherki earlier this season. He had some really good moments. That's calmed down a little bit. But Semenyo's just, I mean, he's scoring goals everywhere. I mean, assists, goals. It's kind of like, I mean, there's no question in my mind that if Semenyo wasn't in this team right now, the title race would be over at this point.
Yeah.
Like he's keeping them afloat. We thought it would be Haaland at this point. Haaland scoring goals like he was earlier in the season. But Semenyo's just been awesome. I think he's a great transfer for anybody out there.
He's been really good. He certainly allowed, as one of our fellow, you know, guest on the podcast, Kyle, he has definitely helped him rise the ranks for sure. So I also wanted to mention, and I'm going to ask you this, Paul, without us talking about him,
yeah.
Who do you think is the most transferred out player going into game week 30?
Most transferred out player going into game 30? Shit, that's interesting.
We are talking about Haaland.
I mean, is it Haaland?
No.
I mean, the way you said that, I was like,
he is in the top five. So he's currently the fourth most transferred out player so far.
Is it? I always suck when I've heard yourself like this.
Okay.
So bad.
I'll give you a hint. He has not returned in about six game weeks. And he plays for a team that's vastly overperforming their XG. Or they were. No, they were. And now they're not converting these really low XG opportunities.
Morgan Rogers.
Yes. Yes.
Get ready to learn bench, buddy.
I've been waiting on that one.
I sent like this meme earlier in the week. There's a new account on Twitter that's popped up, and they do like Game of Zones type stuff where it's like they make memes of the NBA and they're like it's in like the Game of Thrones universe. And there was a meme of Ned Stark's face and it said, "Get ready to learn Dothraki, buddy." I can't wait to use that on some of our socials.
Oh, yeah, me neither. Can't wait for that.
Looks pop.
Yeah,
he doesn't get my niche Twitter anymore.
Here's my thing though, while we're on the topic of Morgan Rogers,
I thought you were gonna say Twitter.
No, not Twitter. We don't deal there. I think getting rid of Morgan Rogers is a bad idea.
Okay, countercultural here.
Because they have really nice fixtures. I think Villa probably have the best fixture out of anyone for the remaining games of the season, right? Let me just read you these fixtures. So Manchester United away. That's objectively hard
stuff.
But you could easily see him returning him out in my mind, right? I can. And they have West Ham at home. That's a good fixture.
It's been better, though.
Nottingham Forest away.
Good fixture.
Tyba City. Sunderland at home, who are exponentially worse away from home. Fulham away. Tottenham at home.
That's the fixture right there.
And then Burnley away, right? And then the City on Liverpool and Man City. So it gets difficult over the last two of the season. But those are really good fixtures. And we know that Rodgers is a streaky player. If he gets that first goal or an assist, he should have had at least a couple assists, right, at this point in the season, over the last couple of game weeks. But Watkins just is not a serviceable striker for a team that wants to be, you know, pushing for the title. So, I'm just trying to say, if you're selling Morgan Rodgers this week, just beware, because I feel like that could come back and haunt a lot of managers for deciding to make that transfer. So,
yeah, I agree with you, Luke, in certain regards that, I mean, I see what you're saying, the fixture's kind of turning a little bit and all that stuff, but like, I don't know. I wasn't even that, like, I think Morgan Rodgers is a great footballer and he's going to have an awesome career in the Premier League and other than the top 5 leagues across the world, wherever he really wants to go, he'll go to play. I just don't see it from Villa though. Like, I don't see, I mean, they had this great run, probably what, like for 3/5 of the season where they were just scoring banger after banger, but like the law of averages does play out.
Yeah, I think a big part of it is John McGinn's injury.
Yeah, they lost Kamara too in the midfield.
Yeah. Let me look up real fast. John McGinn's. But while I do that, Paul, do you want to tell everyone? Okay, here's my question to you. Who's more essential? João Pedro or Hall?
I mean, right now, João Pedro. Like, to me, it's a pretty simple equation. I mean, he's consistently returning. He's less money. And they're not blanking in 31, are they?
Who?
Chelsea?
No.
No. Let me see.
Nope. They play Everton in 31.
Yeah. So, I mean, I haven't seen all the fixtures, what that's going to look like for them. But I am going to say that I think João Pedro is easily higher on my list right now than
all. Especially if they should make it to the semifinal of FA Cup. If we have a double game week, man, you've got a load up on Chelsea assets, right? Yeah. I mean, potentially we would see them doubling. In 33, they could potentially they'd be playing Manchester United and Brighton. It would be, Manchester United would be at home, and Brighton would be away. So that's one of those games where it's kind of like, for João Pedro, it's a special game.
Yeah.
Going back to Brighton, you could see him getting a brace in that pretty easily, whether or not he's a lot of chances. He's one of those players where he doesn't need a lot of chances. He's very clinical, especially at this point in time. So you give him a sniff of goal once, he's likely to get another after that, right? Just with how he's playing right now. So, yeah, I would almost go with João Pedro as more essential than Haaland.
Yeah, that's
where. And this idiot transferred him out 2 weeks ago.
This idiot.
Oh, man. Yeah. So, here's another thing, too. A lot of players, whenever we see a massive return, like we did with João Pedro, we're a 19-pointer in one game week without a double. Usually, I wouldn't expect for that to continue. But with him, I can easily see a goal or two goals and an assist, two assists. Like, all of those returns are well within the realm of possibilities with him.
The thing with João Pedro too is that, like, I think he really bothers defenders. Like, I think they really hate him. Like, if you look at two of the penalties he drew, like, what, like 4 or 5 weeks ago, where he was just two-hand shoved in his back in the box. Like, he obviously has an effect on other players on their team, where they want to two-hand shove him in the back. And as somebody that didn't own him at the time, it was so infuriating to see. And just running around the box and two hand.
It's also for me, his positioning is always really good. He knows the spaces to occupy. And this kind of ties back into, you know, I don't know if you saw this, Paul, but Matthew Benham, the owner of Brentford, he was at a analytics conference here in the States earlier this week. And one of the statements that came out following him making his speech is he said that they would prefer players who have better positioning as opposed to more clinical players. So, for example, they want a striker who has 10 chances over the course of 10 games, as opposed to a striker who, you know, have 5 chances but scores 7 goals over 10 games, right? So you want, they ideally were looking for players that are in and around chances more frequently with the idea that maybe you can teach them to become more clinical over time, right? And that basically quantity over quality, really.
Yeah, that's some like really heady XG stuff there, you know?
Yeah, but I would expect that's how João Pedro, he's kind of a combination of both at this point right now with how he's playing, because he's overperforming his XG, but he also is getting a lot of chances too.
Yeah.
So it's one of those where you almost feel like you have to get him when he's in this form and keep him this time. So.
Yeah, it feels like a really good option. And I mean, it is possible too. I mean, we were talking Haaland or João Pedro earlier. You could have both. Like you could set up your team where you have both players there, and maybe that's the answer, where if you kind of want to hedge Haaland having a better end of the season than he's had, like middle run, you know.
Mm-hmm. But
it's a possibility. It's all team dependent.
Here's my question to you, and we'll probably wrap here a second, but I have a front three of Ekitike, Haaland, and Thiago. In my mind, Haaland is the first one on the chopping block because of his price point and what that does. He's blanking in game week 31, so I know I'm not going to get anything from him at that point. And he has a ton of fixtures coming up against teams that are going to be very physical with him, against teams who will score goals as well. So there's going to be some intense kind of pressure-filled moments I see in those fixtures coming up. And they're also really high-quality teams as well. So
yeah.
I think Haaland is going to be pretty exhausted. And we know whenever his body starts to wear down a little bit and doesn't have quite that edge, scoring goals gets more difficult for him because he's the focus of every team and how they set up defensively. So, I think Haaland is probably the first one on the chopping block in my team for strikers. Would you have the same opinion from an outsider's perspective on my team?
Yeah, I would. Because, I mean, like, I think you're really spot on when you say that, like, the kind of fixtures that he's going to be playing in over the next, like, probably 4 to 5 weeks. I mean, every game at this point for, like, especially Arsenal, City, even you could argue Liverpool, who like want to get something out of this season, are cup finals.
Yeah.
Like these are very, very high intensity matches where, I mean, if you look at like some of the games that like Haaland's going to play Arsenal on March 22nd, right?
The Carabao
Cup. The Carabao Cup final. And then they're going to play Arsenal April 18th in the Premier League. That's another cup final.
Yeah.
And at that point, it could be a situation where City are 1 point behind Arsenal, or it could be a situation where Arsenal are 7 points ahead and they have to win to take points off Arsenal in that way and all that stuff to keep the title alive. So all of these fixtures are vitally important. So it's not like, I don't even think Pep can sit there and be like, hey, we need to rotate and get him rest.
No, I don't think he'll do that. I also am very intrigued. So we have the Carabao Cup final. And then we also have the Premier League fixture on April 18th. Look at it. I'm so fascinated to see how both managers set up for both fixtures and then comparing the two to each other. I can see, you know, Arteta, you know, being in the mindset, Carabao Cup final, let's go out. Right? Like, let's attack. Let's make sure they're on the back foot, try to score as many goals as possible. And then I could see the opposite being done in the Premier League, or maybe Pep approaches it that way. Like, I just love to see how these managers are going to handle these situations because there's so much riding on them, but they also know that the other fixture is equally as important, right?
Yeah.
So you don't want to show too much of your hand going into that cup final.
Yeah, for history's context too, I mean, I think you can look back on like Arteta's like tenure at Arsenal. And if you look at, I think it's 22, 23, whenever Arsenal had that first season that was really good, they went away to Etihad and they got stomped by City.
Oh, is that the one where De Bruyne had that through ball to Holland?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like I think it was a multi-go win, whatever the situation was. That changed Arteta's tactics. Yeah. That changed how he managed games. And it would be really interesting to me if he kind of reopened things up and was like, you know what, we're maybe at the same level as these guys and we need to win both fixtures and go at them.
Yeah.
But it would shock me if they went away to Etihad and he opened things up. I just don't think that's gonna happen. I would personally love it, but
which is the Premier League fixture.
Yeah.
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 I 100% agree with that. I think if he's more likely to be more attacking minded, it's gonna be the Carabao Cup final. I agree with that as well. So
we're gonna know a lot after on the afternoon of April 18th after that game's wrapped up.
Yes,
with the Carabao being wrapped up, all those different things. So
yeah, Villa will probably be pushing for the title at that point again. So after Morgan Rodgers gets 10 goals in the span of 3 games, so
that's bait. that's serious bait. You weren't even close to getting me, honestly.
Oh, he said that's bait. You took it.
I didn't. I'm like the fish that looks at you when you're fishing and you're like, huh, that's funny, bro. I'm not eating that.
All righty. Well, I think we can probably leave it at this point. Paul, do you have any final thoughts for listeners?
I would say lock in on what your plans are going forward, but also be adaptable. I'd say we're kind of at the point where, you know, you want to maybe bank transfers if you can this next game week. Because, I mean, there is going to be an international break the last weekend of March.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's also a fixture congestion.
So that international break will be between game week 31 and 32. So we've got fixtures this coming weekend for game week 30. And then another round of fixtures going in game week 31 for that next weekend, which will be the starts March 20th. And then we don't have a fixture really until April 10th.
So. Yeah. So just be mindful of that because, I mean, if you can maybe make some transfers for that international break, it's really good, I think, to have adaptability because you don't know what's going to happen when players are on international duty. People get hurt. People aren't playing anymore, all that stuff. So it's good to have flexibility there. So just be aware of that and plan out that ship usage and really maximize everything because we are getting down to the tail end of the season.
Yes, we are. We are. I also am advocating for a Thiago captaincy for game of 30.
Thiago?
Yep.
Well, that's crazy.
Brentford have Wolves at home.
What did you say earlier in the podcast though?
About
Wolves were better.
Wolves have been better, but Brentford are also a good side as well.
I agree.
Thiago just scored 2 goals in the FA Cup, even though they lost. And
2 pens, right?
No, just one. I was wrong about that.
Okay.
Yeah. So 1 pen for him, and then also 1 in open play, which was really jammy because someone took a shot and he just really like kind of like brushed it with his chest, and then gets credit for the goal. But goal's a goal, right? So he's goal scorer. It's also, so that fixture, Brentford against Wolves, that's the Monday night fixture to close out the game week. And I do love a captaincy on the last game of a game week. So, kind of where my mind's going right there.
Do y'all want to see me change my captaincy to the pod?
Who wants to see? Paul is really hard to convince to make changes to his team. Thiago.
Captain. Confirmed.
Nice.
Thanks, Luke. Just kidding. I'm going to go back to my other captain after this podcast, but y'all are going to know who that is. So.
Sure. Yeah. You're going to forget to make changes. And then we're going to be on the pod next time. We're going to be like, thank you, Luke.
It hasn't been a week. It hasn't been a busy week for me. So this deadline is going to creep up whenever it is.
Yep. So, yep. That's my final shout out of the week. But it's been a lot of fun to do this pod with you, Paul. Hopefully you guys gained or learned something insightful that will help inform your FPL decisions. As always, please feel free to comment, like, or subscribe, and also just share us, you know, with anyone who you feel like might be interested as well. We'd love that if you could do that. And finally, good luck in Game Week 30, everyone. If you have any questions, reach out to us. But that'll do it for this week. Thanks for joining.
Yep. Good work, Luke.
We'll see you next time.